Today's reading is from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's subject is the Liberator, and let's see what that means to us, what liberation we can get as Ian brings our word from God.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you all here at St. Saviour's this morning. If any of you don't know me, my name's Ian Watson. I'm one of the readers at St. John's. So I start with a question for you all this morning. Are you good at lying to somebody? Indeed, have you lied to somebody already today, perhaps? Or perhaps yesterday? Or during this week? And was that lie a teensy-weensy little white lie, as they're known? Perhaps lying about your age. And I'm not going to ask Kath, because you don't ask people's ages, but I do know a certain vicar who's having his birthday this week. But I bet he'll not lie about his age, will you? No. And then perhaps perhaps you lie about how somebody looks, perhaps, when you look at them. Or if you have gone with your partner round Meadowhall and she's looking for an outfit, and you start in one shop and then you progress round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shops and then end up in the first shop that you started with. And she says, "Do I look all right in this dress?" And by this time, of course, you're getting a little bit parboiled. You say, lovely, darling, you look magnificent, even when perhaps she doesn't. But there we go. Or was your lie a massive, great big whopper with bells on it? You know, I may have already told you, perhaps previously, of one that still lays on my conscience concerning my hair on my wedding day. Now, it may not look much now, but at that time, it was a great big bunch of hair, even with a moustache, okay? So this was going to be a mum versus bride-to-be lie, okay? It felt either way, I couldn't win. Basically, when I lived in Bedfordshire, I always attended a hairdresser for my hair-cutting requirements. However, having moved permanently up to Sheffield, I let Lindsay, my then fiancée, do the cutting. Mostly because it saved money while paying a mortgage, saved time looking for a barber, and of course, because I enjoyed Lindsay cutting my hair. Mother did not approve. Every time we met, she asked, "Have you had your hair cut?" Knowing full well Lindsay was cutting it, and usually followed that up with, "I wish you'd go to a proper barber." Anyway, time came for getting married, and Mum this time insisted that I got, in her words, a proper haircut, and actually gave me the money to go to the barber's. Inspection time came on our wedding day, and having travelled up the M1 from Bedford to Sheffield, her very first job for my mother was to look at my head. "I see you've had your hair cut," she says. "Have you been to the barber's?" And then the clincher, "It looks really neat and tidy." To which I have to say, to my shame, I lied. "Yes, Mum, it looks good, doesn't it?" Oh, the lie. Lindsay had actually given it a good cut a couple of days prior to the wedding, and she'd done a magnificent job. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that she knew, but I think Mum did know. Most mums know when their sons are lying, don't they? But it was the look. And when I say the look, you know what I mean by the look that said it all. She knew. And I felt absolutely rotten. But I was in a catch-22 of a lie. If I had gone to the barber's, Lindsay would have been extremely upset. And if I didn't, Mum would know. And on balance, I was not going to have to live with my mother on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I would not start life off on a wrong foot. So, why do I tell you all this? Well, because today we're looking at briefly 3 points of our Bible reading. 1, why do we lie? 2, why tell the truth? And 3, consequences. So first of all, why lie? Well, today's reading tells us of how Jesus addressed the people who say they believe in him. And this could be us. Jesus knows they are lying. They are using their claim to the descendancy from Abraham, much as we say we are Christians and go to church, as the fact that they do not sin and they tell the truth about believing in God. Jesus lays their lies bare. John 8, verses 37 and 44, he says, "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me. You belong to your father, the devil." Now, why lie? Because it's come so natural. As the Bible says, lying is our native language. In the group listening to Jesus, it's more comfortable to be one of the crowd. It's convenient and will not cause trouble for the individual, and it gives them some kudos. They look as if they are Jesus's followers. However, by their words, they condemn themselves. They are slaves to sin by lying about being Jesus's followers. Bottom line, these so-called believers don't believe in God and what God stands for, goodness and truth. Instead, they demonstrate the devil's ways of living their lives by lying and deceit. Do we lie about being followers of Christ because it looks good sometimes? Perhaps gives us a kind of kudos in front of others at church or at work or in the community of High Green or Sheffield or wherever? When in fact our actions show otherwise. We look perhaps to gain on the back of others, or talk about others behind their backs, or lie because it's an easy way out of a situation. We certainly talk the talk about things, but never act as Jesus taught, perhaps, forgiving others and giving to the poor and needy and helping others. Jesus equates the truth with being free from slavery to sin. And this is the bottom line of today's reading. Every time we lie, we sin. I'll say that again. Every time we lie, we sin. We are not holding to Jesus' teaching to know the truth, because as Jesus says, that will set us free from slavery to sin and allow us to do what Jesus teaches us and God wants us to do. To be liberated from sin slavery, we need to tell the truth, even when it hurts, even when it may cost us. And that's very hard sometimes, isn't it? Very hard indeed. Because so often we find it easier to lie in a hard situation. But as we act and speak like that, it's as if we do not belong to God. Okay, that's lying. Then why tell the truth? George Washington famously said, "I cannot tell a lie," when he was accused of chopping down a tree and admitted it. And of course, Pontius Pilate famously asked Jesus, "What is truth?" John 18, verse 38. Truth. Thing is, what may appear to be truth to one person may not always appear to be to another. Individuals have issues with the truth, and society sees lying as part of life. We even have TV programs like Would I Lie to You by Rob Brydon. I don't know whether anybody's ever seen that on the telly, but it's there. Even national governments have problems with the truth. Most have ministries of propaganda or national institutions telling the truth as they see it. In fact, quite often spinning lies in order to win an argument over actions that are taken. Some of these, it would be argued, are for the national good. Yet so often they reduce the status of the individuals doing the lying and minimise who they are, the more lies they tell. One only has to look at President Vladimir Putin, for instance, who told everybody 2 days before invading the Ukraine in February 2022 that he was not going to invade at all. And we know what happened there. Subsequently, the Post Office stating that the Horizon calculating computers were always accurate and could never be tampered with from outside agencies. Yet Jesus is very clear about truth in today's reading. In John 8, verse 32, he says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." For all of us, telling the truth can be a lot more difficult in a situation than telling lies and watering down the truth. Saying we are Christians, like those in the reading saying they are children of Abraham, does not prevent us or them from lying. We can say we are Christians, but our words and our actions prove we're not and do not believe what Jesus teaches. As Jesus says in John 8, verses 46 and 47, "If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me?" He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Okay, so what are the consequences of lying? Well, today, as we've noted, is St. Patrick's Day. Now, St. Patrick started out in Cornwall with no belief in God whatsoever and lived life to please himself. In his own words, he was idle and callow. And then, at the age of 16, he was captured and enslaved by pirates who took him to Ireland and made him work as a slave for them for 6 years as a shepherd. And it was here enslaved that Patrick found God. He says in his confession writings that the Lord had mercy on his youth and his ignorance and afforded him the opportunity to be forgiven his sins and convert to Christianity. And he escaped captivity after 6 years. In years to come, Patrick was to write of being a slave to sin no more. And even when he had been made a bishop, it was as if he'd read today's reading about living a life of truth, because he was accused of financial impropriety by other Christians and obtained his bishopric personal gain in mind and not God by lying and deceit and putting himself before God. Now, today's reading tells us that, like Patrick, if we lie, we are following the devil, not God. Because we are so willing to follow the devil's ways, then we don't hear what God says. When we don't follow God, we will not believe in his word. And we will be shown for the hypocrites that we are. Saying we believe in God and then doing and saying things which prove the contrary. And then we will hear those familiar words of accusation. I thought you was a Christian. Basically, we are condemned. Condemned by others and condemned by Jesus and God. We will not hear God's words of eternal life and salvation. It's as simple as that. We need to seek the ultimate truth. And Jesus is that truth. Say that again. Jesus is that truth. That Jesus is the Son of God, who died and rose again for us, who took our sins away and gave us the chance of eternal life. Why should we not believe that truth? So lying, telling the truth, and their consequences. As Christians, when tempted to lie about something, think on Jesus' words. Even when it's easier to lie to get out of a situation in the long run, the truth is better. And most times will come out better at the end. Instead of lying about it something next time, let's just stop and think. What would God want me to say and to do? And what will be the consequences if I lie or if I tell the truth? Remember what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate when he was being tried for his life. He said, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me. So, are we on the side of truth? Do we know the consequences? Remember John 8, verse 32. Jesus said, then you will know, and the truth will set you free. Through Jesus Christ, God offers hope and help to those who repent and seek the truth. And there is still time. Know the truth, and we will be set free. And as Christians, we need to know the forgiveness of God when we lie and we cheat. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we will all lie at some time, even for what we see as the best of reasons. As Frank Skinner, the comedian and Christian, has said of himself in the Sunday Times recently, If I do get to heaven, I'd like to be a defence lawyer for borderline cases. People with a good heart who've made a few poor decisions, including lying. We used to call it forgiveness, and it used to be quite popular. But the world isn't so keen on it these days. Maybe it's time to bring it back. Oh yes, it's high time to bring forgiveness back into our world, and also truth, that in truth we following Jesus Christ, we may find a real, true relationship with God. Let's pray. I'm going to use a prayer by Nikki Gumbel of the Alpha Course. Lord Jesus Christ, we are truly sorry for the things we have done wrong in our lives. Please forgive us. We now turn from everything we know is wrong to your truth. Thank you that you died on the cross for us so we could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer us forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Please come into our lives by your Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Amen.
Thank you, Ian.